You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday morning to you. Welcome to our house. The house of post-traumatic winning and All Marine Radio. On a Tuesday. The day before the 4th of July. So for most people, they're not working Friday. So we're already at Thursday. Nice. Joe Biden sinking in the polls. Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, neither one's going to be president of the United States. Hate to break it to them. You know, I got a couple emails yesterday that I didn't get to, and one of them dealt with the stuff going on in Portland that was in the news. And you know, I don't understand how community allows that. You know, that mayor must be a shithead. You saw, you know, I think most people saw either video or pictures of what happened in, you know, so you have a conservative reporter, who happens to be gay, right? So he's a reporter and he's gay and he gets the shit beat out of him. They're throwing eggs, they're targeting him. Somebody looks like throws a rock, and hits him and pulls it out of a pack. And, you know, the whole Antifa thing to me is just, it's a bunch of cowards, right? Put stuff over their faces and all the rest of it, and then they violently, anonymously attack somebody. And you have the city, it looks like, that is not around to protect anybody. And, you know, and I think of what the president said, and it got brought up again last week about the whole Charlottesville thing. To me, the president's comments were correct, that there were good people on both sides of the issue. And what he meant was, I believe what he meant was, there's people that don't believe that taking down monuments is the right thing we should do, that we should build those monuments out to include the rest of the story, and that we shouldn't bleach American history. And that we should tell the whole story of those monuments, okay? Initially, they were not allowed to put monuments up in the South. They were forbidden. Not going to happen. But in an effort to bind the nation after the bloodiest war in American history, right, they were allowed to erect monuments to their fallen. And they did. And so there's a lesson in that about how a nation heals itself. That's those white statues, those, you know, bronze statues, they only tell half the story, though. And the other half of that story should get told, and that is the number of black human beings that were sold in the South. And that story ought to be told. So to me, when you bleach American history, you don't do anybody any good. It's not right. You shouldn't do it. Now, I mean, I think there's a case to be made. Well, does that statue belong at this location? I think there's probably a decent case for that. Maybe it doesn't belong in front of the federal courthouse. Maybe it doesn't belong in front of City Hall. I don't have an issue with that. Or if it's going to stay there, then we build out something that's as significant right next to it. And I have the same feeling about, should I, as a black officer in the United States Army, have to go to work every day on an Army base named for a Confederate general? Fort Hood, Fort Bragg, Fort Benning, right? There's a whole bunch of them, Fort Polk in Louisiana. So I think those are legitimate questions. But I don't think you you would take that and you would say, you know, at some point, here's the museum of Fort Polk. Here's who General Polk was. And you build it out. But I don't. So, anyway. But I don't get when people are being assaulted in places, and it happens at Berkeley, where the Antifa crowd seems to be running roughshod. Now, they haven't held an event there in a while, or at least I haven't seen one on TV. But Portland seems to be the place that you can go and you can do whatever you want to do. And my point about the whole Charlottesville thing was this. What the president was trying to say is that there's people who intellectually believe that there's a better way, instead of pulling those statues down, to deal with all of that. And I believe that's what the president meant. And I think the president also said, when he said on both sides, and there's people that genuinely that believe that we should remove those things. However, there were two groups that showed up that day to fight. And I remember, and I've told the story before, but I remember when I watched the video, I didn't understand who was fighting who. Because I thought it was the people with the helmets and the shields and the sticks. I thought they were going to fight the cops or protesters, but they were fighting another group that looked very similar. And I was confused. I was like, well, are they fighting against themselves? And what none of us knew when we watched the video at the time was that fight had been brewing, right, between, you know, right-wing fundamentalists and the Antifa crowd, right, online for a while, and everybody else just got in the way. And the president, in my opinion, said the right thing. There were people on both sides of that issue that went there with pure hearts. There were other people on both sides of the issue, but the narrative was that Trump's a racist, blah, 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 blah. He's a New York he used to be a New York Democrat, for God's sake. And so, anyway, so that was in the news last week. It was in the Democratic debates. And so that thought popped in my head again, that, you know what, the narrative, in my opinion, gets hijacked. And I don't think the president certainly didn't handle it very well. For somebody who's constantly yakking, you know, he certainly didn't articulate himself very well then. And but anyway, he was new. Hopefully he's learned. But yeah, I think what he said was, in fact, the truth. And I think that's based on initial reporting that came out of that place. That's what he got told. So that's what he said. And again, I don't think he was wrong, but, you know, emboldening right-wing supremacists. Anyway, but we watched the same thing play out. Those two groups, schedule their fights, and they have them, and it happens on TV. The thing that happened, this reporter evidently has a reputation of putting Antifa people on TV, and they don't like it. But I don't get how, when that video gets shown, the police don't show the video and say, if you know who this guy is, we want to know who it is. And I don't see a whole lot of prosecution. I don't see a whole lot of news about stuff like that. I don't see a whole lot of news about that. Anyway, good morning to you. Big news from the border. AOC went down there, and the walking news machine that she is, she came out screaming and yelling. And yeah, there's a shocker for you, right? I didn't see any other senator or congressman's name associated with any other kind of inflammatory statement other than her. So where does that take us relative to the truth to that? Just her being her? Right? Wherever she goes, there's a proverbial fountain of headlines to follow. I'm thinking. But you know, I don't want to be too quick, to judge. And then now floating around, there's a picture of a combination drinking fountain and toilet. Oh, is that what she was talking about? Anyway, and if the conditions down there are horrible, who's to blame? Is it not our Congress? Oh, it's the Border Patrol's fault? So the Border Patrol, they're bad people, and they've just decided to treat immigrants like that. Why am I not buying that? Why am I not buying that? Because that's probably not the narrative, right? That's probably not the narrative. All right. Yeah, 4th of July week this week. Unseasonably cool here in California, as opposed to most Julys. And normally by this time, here in Southern California, the air conditioner would be on. Hadn't even looked at that thing yet. Haven't even looked at that thing yet. So, yeah, global warming, El Nino, one of those things, whatever. So, the president of South Korea says the Trump-Kim border meeting essentially amounted to the end of hostilities. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Marine forces distributed across the Pacific. We'll talk about a trial that ended yesterday and jury deliberations beginning in San Diego. And so we'll talk about some news headlines, and then Alex Holling's going to join us. That's right. Formerly of SoftRep, NewsRep, and currently the editor of the Loadout Room. Alex is going to join us today, so we'll talk to him and catch up. The Warrior Games just concluded. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We'll also talk about one other story I want to talk about. I love it when American combat ships go into the Black Sea. The picture of the USS Kearney headed into the Black Sea. Vladimir, what do you think is going to happen to Russia when they don't have Dr. Evil playing the part anymore? Oh, there's another story. You know, and I'm going to ask Alex about it. Yeah, Russia can't make that many hypersonic missiles. What? Yeah, remember all that about hypersonic weapons? Well, Russia is only going to be able to make, like, two of them. And when they attempt to fire each one of them, it would be like on the 4th of July, you know when you have a dud? Because the Russians make stuff that doesn't work. Yeah, They're great in the laboratory, not so much when it has to go boom. That's why their Navy can't get to sea. Yeah, not the greatest thing in the world. Anyway, so the United States Marine Corps ban makes this morning official. Thanks for listening here on a Tuesday. Alex Hollings will join us here in 49 minutes. So about 5 after 9 o'clock here on the Pacific Coast. So, good morning to you. Dedicated to all you fireworks maniacs out there, all right? So, number one, be careful this year, okay? Make sure you do things that are safe and sane, and always be mindful that those things are made to explode. So, a word to the wise. And let me tell you, and I love things that go boom, but every year, you know, you read stories around the country about people getting killed, messing with their fireworks and doing different things and just the stupid stuff that happens. So be careful. Be careful, be careful, be careful.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
8:23 on a Tuesday. The weather around Marineland. Clouds in 85 in the Quantico area, 30 miles south of D.C. Mostly sunny in 89 at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. On 29 Palms in the high desert in California, sunny in 82 already. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 64 degrees. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 78. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 83, so it's warm in the western Pacific. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, it is sunny and 104 late in the day. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where Task Force Southwest works, dark, clear, and 99 degrees. But it's a dry 99, so you can deal with it. And in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, Southern California, it is mostly sunny at 66. Looking for a high today of 76 degrees. That's like warm this year, which is crazy. 73 tomorrow and 74 on the 4th of July, which will be Thursday. So don't touch that dial. We'll check news headlines as we get going here on a Tuesday morning. All Marine Radio, you're home for it. Right here on the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure, We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be amazed of this heartbreak. I want to drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears.
Peyton Davis is going to be in San Diego with me in a couple weeks.
Let it all out. But right now it's just me.
You know, I watched the video of the Antifa crowd, and it just pisses me off. A bunch of fat, slope-shouldered people in masks that gang up on a reporter. They would never fight mano a mano. Yeah. A bunch of chicken shit clowns.
So I'm gonna stand here and watch it.
I watch it. Just that stuff just pisses me off. I would like to make them hurt. Just so they could feel the pain of what they do to somebody else. Again, how does the mayor of Portland allow that? That's how our city is going to be depicted as a home for that? How does the city council, is that okay? Is that okay in the United States now? If I don't like what you say, it's my, you know, it's okay if somebody kicks your ass. And I have to say that in a lot of places in the country, that's what you see. What happened to, they have a protected right under the First Amendment in this country to say, to gather and say what they say. So Peyton Davis is going to be in San Diego with me. Fired up about him. Okay, let me read you. I told you I had an email from yesterday I didn't get to. Ohio man was fired up about it on TV yesterday. The Antifa crowd was active again in Portland over the weekend, putting some people in the emergency room. It's surreal how these idiots can claim to be anti-fascist when they actually display true fascist behavior. Yeah, right? Police nowhere to be found. This has been going on in Portland for a couple of years. They're terrorizing the streets. I am reading that the police force is losing a lot of officers due to disgust with the very leftist city council. Would you want to be? I wouldn't want to work there. And that's just what you see, right? If that's how they run the city, you know, there's a whole series of things that you wouldn't see that Ohio man wasn't happy with it. But it is, honestly, think about it. It's amazing. I mean, what makes us different as a democracy is the whole concept of minority rights. That you, even in the minority, have a right to express yourself, and that right is protected under the law. What happens when the law says, yeah, we don't want to protect that right? Which is what seems to be happening in Portland. Right. By the way, it's 90 degrees in Alabama. Yeah, that from the godmother of post-traumatic winning, Libby. Yeah, who lives in Alabama. Yeah, if you want to let me know what your current temperature is, I'll be happy to announce it. Here's another email about Antifa. They need to be called out as a hate group, period. Well, yeah, how else would you describe them? Oh, no, you don't understand. They're coming out to kick the asses of idiot right-wing people. Okay, so then it's okay for a right-wing group to come out and kick the asses of a left-wing radical group whose message they don't like? Well, no. That wouldn't be right. Okay? Fox News is on the monitor here. It's muted, right? Because you have to do it if you do this kind of stuff, because when September 11th happened, everybody who didn't have a TV near them, didn't know what the hell was going on. But it strikes me again as a height of stupidity when the elected officials who won't act on the border go down there and they get on their soapbox and say, this is horrible. Well, no shit, it's horrible. Why don't you stay down there for a few days? That picture that we all hated, that we saw last week of the father with the little girl, you know, underneath the shirt on his back, both drowned. You can take that picture any day down there. Yeah. Pick a day. And that stuff goes on there every day. You want to know why? Because you all won't act. To me, it's laughable. If it wasn't such a tragedy and people weren't actually dying down there, they go down there and they get their panties in a bunch. They get their boxers in a bunch. And oh my God, then send the money down there to fix it. Right? Deal with immigration. You're the ones that control all the money. You want to know why all those people are crammed in there? Because there's nowhere else to stick them. So, no, honestly, I mean, it's like, what planet do they live on? Yeah, you can sit up there and do nothing for year after year after year, and it has no effect, right? Wrong? Interesting. All right, let's check the news. All right, before I get distracted by more video. Stars and Stripes, top of the fold headline today. South Korean president says Trump-Kim border meeting mounted to an end of hostilities. I don't know that I've ever heard Kim's voice. Like, you hear him, you see him sitting with the president, but he doesn't answer questions. Do you think he's got a, you know, deep voice? Well, Don, or do you think it's, hello, Don? That'd be hilarious if he had the Mickey Mouse.
We don't do it that way in North Korea. We're pretty strict up here. That's right.
It'd be hilarious, right? So anyway. Again, this is out of Star Destroyer. North Korea and the United States held a historic impromptu meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump this weekend at the DMZ as a chance to reset troubled nuclear negotiations. But neither side has given any indication of how that's going to happen. 4 months after their summit in Vietnam, which ended without an agreement due to stark differences over North Korean demands for sanction relief, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said a new round of talks would likely begin in mid-July and insisted that progress has been made. Quote, we've worked on this a lot, so we're not at square one. We have a sense of their expectations and for a range of ways this might move forward, he told reporters after Sunday's meeting. He did not elaborate beyond that. South Korea had a little bit different spin on it, though. President Moon said he believed that it was a de facto end of the conflict, but with the American president stepping foot inside of North Korea. Quote, there is skepticism about overly symbolic approaches to North Korea. This is from the South Korean newspaper Junang Daily, right? There's skepticism about overly symbolic approaches to North Korea. Since dialogue started last year, North Korea has not relinquished a single nuclear weapon or missile. To silent skeptics, the three leaders must make real progress. You know what? I think we'll leave it at that. Well said. It's not often we end on a newspaper article that's that well written, but that one was. A lot of stuff being written about whether there's going to be tanks at the 4th of July on the mall. Remember the president wanted his big parade? That didn't happen. Well, he's made a couple statements, and now people are tracking the movement of tanks, right, that were in a rail yard in D.C., right? So now that's become a hot news item, right? The Associated Press is reporting on it. The presence of tanks. Anyway. Yesterday, the president said that a display of U.S. military tanks will be part of a special event he's headlining on July 4th in Washington. An Associated Press photographer saw at least two M1A1 Abrams tanks and four other military vehicles on flat cars in a rail yard in southeastern Washington, D.C. How about that? We're tracking rail yards now, right? Tell me Trump doesn't dominate everything, right? sucks the life out of the world when he shows up and makes a statement. We're now monitoring rail yards in the southeast part of D.C. Be careful, because that's not the safest neighborhood, by the way. Marine Corps stories. Congress wants to review the Marine Corps' plan to spread troops to Guam. All right, ready? Here's the essential problem. We were talking about Taiwan yesterday, remember? Okay. Now, so if you get your Google Earth out, let me, I've got an overlay that that has all the Korean War stuff turned on, and I need to turn that off. Let's see, Iraq, Syria, 29 Palms, Vietnam. I have all these overlays, right? Vietnam. Maybe I should do this another time. You think, Mac? Hello. Anyway, all right. So, go find Okinawa. So, zoom out on your Google Earth and find Okinawa. Okay, so you got Okinawa, right? All right. Now, go down and to the left and find the South China Sea, where Vietnam is on one side, the Philippines are on another, Indonesia down there on, in the south, okay? All right, and then China in the north. So that's the South China Sea. Okay, you see where Okinawa is, pretty close. All right, now, in the little search box, I need to graphically do this for you, okay? Find Guam and then fly to Guam. Yeah, Guam is, let's see, all right, let me get my ruler out here so I can tell you. All right, from the center point of the South China Sea, all right, I'll use this point right here, I'll call that the center, which is right in the middle, to Okinawa it is, oops, let me do this in miles so everybody's got a clue. All right. It's 1,200 miles. Okay, Guam is 2,020 miles from the center. So, if you look at the center of the South China Sea, Okinawa is at about 2 o'clock on the clock. Yeah, Mickey's little hand is at 2, and his big hand's at 12. Or something like that. Is that how that goes? Yeah, the little hand. All right, and Guam is at about 3:30 or 4 o'clock on where Mickey's little hand is. Okay, but it's another 800 miles away. Is that really what we want to do? And then we have more Marines in Darwin in Australia, and that would be about 2,100 miles. If they were on the eastern stretch of Darwin, of Australia, oh no, that's New Guinea, hold on. Darwin's all the way down here. Yikes. Darwin is 2,100 miles, and it's at about 5 o'clock. I went to the wrong button. So, the question is, does this all make sense? If there is a conflict, and it escalates quickly, given the modern lethality of missiles and ships, how does that going to work? So Congress wants to review the Marine Corps force posture in the Pacific. Now, the problem is Marine Corps and the Navy have been planning to get some troops off Okinawa for a while, right? So anyway, lawmakers on Capitol Hill are asking for a review of the U.S. military's plan to distribute forces across the Indo-Pacific region in places like Okinawa, Japan, Guam, Hawaii, Australia, among other locations. Noting a pressing need to redistribute Marines from Okinawa, in the Senate's recent version of the annual defense legislation, lawmakers want an update. All right. Now, the Marine Corps has been investing a lot of money in Guam. Many people believe Guam is too far away and that we need to work out a deal with the Philippines. with Vietnam. Yeah. With the Philippines or Vietnam to locate American forces down there because they'll already be at the party. So, interesting. All right. That has to do with, you know, the next conflict's going to happen in a hurry. You're not going to have time to get there. Yada, 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 yada. All right. That's about the only story that breaks squelch relative to Marine stuff here today. The top stories in Early Bird this morning. Well, let me do a USNI story. U.S. Naval Institute has a story by a guy named John O'Grady. It's about NATO. Headline reads, panel, rise of authoritarian governments pose the biggest threat to NATO. Now, I would disagree with that. The biggest threat to NATO is Germany.
What?
Yeah. Germany's, and again, this goes back to, you know, the lessons that we talked about after after the 75th anniversary at Normandy. And that and the lessons were this. The world paid a big price when the free nations of the world decided not to answer Germany's aggression. With aggression of their own. And so, it's pretty important to understand that, you know, authoritarian, and so the headline is, rise of authoritarian governments pose the biggest threat to NATO. No, they don't. Countries like Germany, who won't do their part, who don't stand with the alliance, pose the biggest threat to Germany because there's no power on the planet that can oppose the free nations when they operate, right, in concert. Russia can't. Vlad Putin. Again, we had this big thing. Alex Hollings, who's going to join me here in about 15 minutes. You know, Russia's hypersonic missiles and the whole doomsday. They can't produce any of them. They don't have the money because they have an economy smaller than Canada. He just goes around the world playing Dr. Evil, right? So to me, anyway, I'll read you a bit of this. Here's the story. Among NATO members, the rise of populist authoritarian governments eschewing democratic values poses more of a threat to the alliance than an aggressive Russia on its borders, or an expansionist China elbowing its way into military and economic circles, a panel of security and diplomatic experts said on Thursday. Quote, NATO should be in this game of promoting independent judiciaries, free and open political debates, and a free press, and not just in the EU, in advocating bedrock freedoms and ways of governing. That's from Charles Kupchan and the Council of Foreign Relations, so that at the Atlantic Council in Washington, D.C. Nations such as Turkey, Poland, Hungary, and Italy needed to be called out by other alliance members when they see backsliding or defending those values domestically, and as an alliance, it should be pushing them overseas. Quote, if we get these issues wrong, good night. In trying to keep a coalition together on a host of issues, from cyber warfare to migrants to the common defense, the rise of authoritarianism reflected in the actions of Russia and China offering themselves as models to follow is the premier security threat of our time. So some interesting statements coming out of there. And again, so the rise of populism, right, as opposed to globalism. So maybe populism is just a pushback on the whole notion of the EU and the loss of sovereignty of many nations. Maybe it seeks a middle ground, not an extreme. That would be my thought. as opposed to our, my nation being swallowed up by this EU thing. I don't want that. And I think that's reflected in the debate that we've seen in the United Kingdom. So, again, the rise of authoritarian governments poses the biggest threat to NATO. I disagree. I think the nation states like Germany, who don't do their part, weaken NATO. All the other things that happen on the fringe, they will come and they will go. Right? Strong, free nations that stand in the way of nations like Russia, like Iran, like China, and bring and use the economic tools they have at their disposal, not the military tools that could certainly be brought to bear, right? That's what sustains peace. And that is the lesson of World War II. It should have been fought. It should have been fought. On the heels of the Treaty of Versailles, that was not a good treaty because it punished Germany too harshly. What do we see on the heels of World War I? We saw George Marshall and the Marshall Plan, and Germany and Japan got treated completely different than Germany did after the end of World War I. But had the Allies, when Hitler started beating drums and doing shit, had they intervened, right? Most of the 70 to 85 million people that died during World War II would not have died. That's a fact, Jack. So peace through strength. All other things will come and all other things will go. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, the Army is considering overturning Bo Bergdahl's sentence. You believe that? The Bo Bergdahl case went back to court on Thursday when the Army heard an appeal arguing that President Donald Trump's comments about a conviction and prison time for the former soldier amounted to undue command influence and interfered with his right to a fair trial. The Army Court of Criminal Appeals convened a three-judge panel to hear the case, according to the court docket. Quote, the president has tainted everything. Eugene Fiddle, a Yale Law School lecturer and former Coast Guard judge advocate who represented Bergdahl, told the panel. Bergdahl, then a sergeant, pleaded guilty to desertion and misbehavior before the enemy in 2017 for deserting his post in 2009 while deployed to an observer post in Afghanistan's Paktika province with the 4th Brigade Combat Team of the 25th Infantry Division. He was quickly captured. You all know the rest of the story. The judge in his case did not sentence him to prison. You know, when that came out, I used the F word, I think, 15 times in a row. I was not happy that day. Now, I wish I was joking, but I'm not. The judge did not sentence him to prison, saying that his incarceration with the Taliban was punishment enough. Instead, he ordered him busted down to private and a fine of $10,000 and a dishonorable discharge. Trump weighed in multiple times over the proceedings, tweeting and making public comments that favored his execution. Quote, in the old days when we were strong and wise, we would shoot a guy like that. As he said in 2015, as he campaigned for president. So that makes him a private citizen. He's got a right. At the time of the trial, Bergdahl's legal team argued that Trump's comments had tainted the trial. The judge, Army Colonel Jeff Nance, declared them mitigating evidence which can reduce punishment in sentencing. Still, Bergdahl's attorney, Fidel, I don't know how you pronounce that name, filed for an appeal. Officially, the appeals panel considered whether the president had an influence on court proceedings if he doesn't preside over them, whether that influence plays, quote, an intolerable strain on the public's perception of the military justice system, and whether the average person, with all the facts of the case in front of them, would have doubts about the fairness of the trial. Vidal declined to be interviewed for the story. Can you imagine? On that, the sentence gets thrown out. Bergdahl's found innocent and is awarded all his back pay. Clown stuff, man. That is clown stuff. He's a victim. He's a deserter in the face of the enemy that got other people injured and, depending on who you believe, even killed. And now he's a victim. Unbelievable. Number two, Trump touts brand new World War II era tank display at 4th of July celebration. Yeah. I told you this story. Like, Trump sucks the life out of everything. He and AOC, man. When they're out and about, stand by. Number three, Defense Department may ban beer and pizza. Mandatory keto diet may enhance military performance. Now, the keto diet, much in the news, right? Give up carbs, right? All kinds of people. So, here's a Military Times article about it. The controversial ketogenic or keto diet may be the future of the military, some defense officials say. Service members and Navy SEALs especially may have to forego beer and burritos for skinny cocktails and avocado salad, forget the tortilla chips, if a proposal from Special Operations Command gains momentum. While a nutritionally enhanced future could eventually be put into effect for all branches, the SEALs and other underwater dive mission specialists might be the first groups targeted for the change in nutritional guidelines. You know what? Just so you know, I mean, those guys, when they go for it, they eat whatever they want. Yeah, they're their own special group, man. It's not like they eat DOD food. Trust me. They do whatever the hell they want. So, yeah. Good luck banning beer and pizza for people that don't follow anybody's instructions. Number four, Iran says it has broken stockpile limit set by the nuclear deal. Now, as we were talking about before, this is not North Korea in the Pacific dealing with Japan. This is Iran in the Middle East with Israel on the other side. So, be very careful. Be very careful. And at some point, I would think one of two things will happen. Either Israel will blow their asses away, right? They will destroy that capability. Or Israel will send them a calling card to warn them. So, but in the past, historically, Israel doesn't send calling cards. They just do it. So, yeah, stay tuned. From Tehran, Iran has broken the limit set on its stockpile of low-enriched uranium by the 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, international inspectors, and Tehran said on Monday, marking its first major departure from the unraveling agreement a year after the U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the agreement. Now, again, the whole question is, does anybody believe that Iran never intended to violate the agreement? And the other issues were that if you linked Iran's behavior in the Middle East to the agreement and you said, hey, look, those other issues have to be included, Iran said, oh, no, 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 that stuff can't be included. And so, anyway, we have what we have now. And now, again, the audience all this is aimed at is Europe, because Europe is who Iran is looking to provide them relief. The announcement by Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Zarif, and later confirmation by UN nuclear watchdog puts new pressure on European nations trying to save the deal amid President Donald Trump's maximum campaign targeting Iran. Iran separately threatens to raise its uranium enrichment closer to weapons-grade levels on July 7th if European fails to offer it a new deal. So that's what all this is about. It also further heightens tensions across the Middle East in the wake of Iran recently shooting down a U.S. military surveillance drone. Mysterious attacks on oil tankers. Yeah, nobody can figure that out. And the Israelis blaming Tehran for those attacks, and bomb-laden drone assaults on Yemen's Iranian-backed rebels targeting Saudi Arabia. So again, the quagmire that is the Middle East. The European Union urged Iran to reverse course, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the action, quote, a significant step toward making a nuclear weapon. Iran long has insisted its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes, despite Western fears about it. So again, Europe, how will they save the deal? What will they do next? As Iran, in a very public way, puts pressure on them. Interesting. Number five, Bolton pushes back on North Korea negotiations report. So John Bolton, a hawk to say the least. There's been several articles written about how the president's, how should I say it, step back from economic confrontation with China and going to North Korea are moves that are diametrically opposed to the things John Bolton advocates, okay? National Security Advisor John Bolton on Monday pushed back on a New York Times story suggesting the U.S. may accept a nuclear freeze from North Korea in a new round of negotiations. Quote, I read this New York Times story with curiosity, Bolton tweeted. Neither the NSC, National Security Council, staff, nor I have discussed or heard of any desire to, quote, settle for a nuclear freeze by North Korea. This was a reprehensible attempt by someone to box in the president. There should be consequences. The story was printed in the Times News Analysis section and claimed that in new negotiations with North Korea, the U.S. may be willing to accept the country as a nuclear power. That approach would enshrine the status quo, stopping North Korea's nuclear arsenal from growing, but not requiring the dismantling of any weapons the rogue nation might currently have. Quote, we are confident in the accuracy of our reporting, Times Vice President of Communications Danielle Rhodes told the publication The Hill. You know what? Why does that sound hollow to me? Oh, because of all the stories that the New York Times has had to retract? Probably. Probably. So anyway, interesting. John Bolton went out of his way to take a run at that story. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Holling is going to join us. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this program coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.